Welcome to Claybody Theatre's podcast of Dirty Laundry by Deborah McAndrew. The original play was performed in the site-specific setting of Spode Works in 2017. Each episode will be aired every night this week and then be available for free download via the Claybody Theatre website. Before tonight's broadcast, you'll hear the voice of local historian Fred Hughes recalling his memories of the sights and sounds of Stoke-on-Trent before the Clean Air Act of 1956.
High Street, weekday morning on the eve of the implementation of the Clean Air Act. A co-op bread van stops outside a grocer's emporium. Its driver carries in a tray of yeasty loaves, while a grocer's girl stacks packets of butter and cheese. Both dodging the portly shopkeeper, scattering fresh sawdust over the blockwood floor. Nearby, a tobacconist positions cartons of Craven A and Woodbine fives and tens into a display cabinet. A 50-shilling tailor shapes gabardine suits and drip-dry shirts over window models, occasionally glancing at his assistant, lowering an advertising blind against an insipid sun, challenging chimney smoke for sky space. A red GPO Bantam motorcycle foots along the street, passing a group of lounging teddy boys idly waiting for their national service call-up papers. Its brill-creamed leader sneers at the telegram boys' motorcycling skills. At a bus stop alongside a grime-encrusted congregational chapel, a cheery conductor urges his passengers. "Plenty of room upstairs, Doc? All very tight, please, thank you." While to the remaining queue, a newspaper vendor announces, "City News, early edition." But it's the factories that own the town, radiating a symphony of manufacture tuned to the rattle and roar of machinery, the hiss of pipes, the insistent clipping of piecework pottery fettlers, and the radio sounds of workers' playtime. Next to factory gates, town centre taverns, beer houses and wines and schooner saloons open their lunchtime doors to a cagey bank manager, the Chamber of Trade chairman, a cautious accountant, and a ribald cigar-smoking solicitor. Meanwhile, a toiling wife and mother pins a weekly wash on a backyard clothesline, pacing seasoned opportunity against the factory's grit and soot, carefully watching the mood of a darkening sky.
Dirty Laundry by Deborah McAndrew.
It's 28 minutes past six. Evening music today is played by Jack Leon and his orchestra and begins with the march, Blaze of Glory.
Them Brierly youths. One of these days... The little devils! Right. Oi, there's a sick man here.
Sorry, Mrs. Barry.
I'll have that if you don't mind.
Oh, Mrs.
You can have your ball back when you've learnt some respect for the dying. This in a Vale Park, youth. Go on, get off down your own end.
Let's go again.
Nora, what are you doing back so early?
Had a fight with Brian.
Did you now? Go on then. What's it all about?
Too fresh, too quick. I told him he ain't all good looking enough for of expectations.
The way lads behave today, anyone would think there was still a war on.
If you see Brian tomorrow, he might just look like there is.
Good for you.
I'm finished with him, Francis.
You're better off without him. Oh, Nora. Don't get upset. Come on, sit down here. Now, Pull yourself round and just think how lucky that Brian Furnival was to have had a date with you at all. And what's he? A clipper on the buzzes. That's nowt to swank about, is it?
He's the only lad who's ever asked me out. He said nobody else would ask me because they're scared of me.
You stick to your guns, lass. Youths round here. It was just the same in my day. So much as smile at them, and next thing you know, they've got their hands up your gansy.
No!
Oh, now.
I don't even like him that much. He has warts.
I know. You're just sorry you miss playing cards with me and your dad.
Where is he?
He weren't feeling too good. Went upstairs for lie down.
In the middle of a game?
I was making him laugh, and then he set to coughing and it made him dizzy and fair tired him out. I had a right good hand and all.
I'll go up and see him.
Shall I make a brew?
You can get off home now. Thank you, Francis.
I'm in no hurry. We can finish this game if he comes back down. Tell him I swear I honour Luke to his cards.
A king, a three.
Come for your bill,
Dad? How are you feeling? Dad? Hot. You're very hot, Dad. Can you hear me?
Playing football in the pitch dark. Criminal, I say. This time of night, he should be up the dirt ruck picking coal for his mother. What's up?
He has a fever.
Should I fetch a doctor?
Yes. Please. His breathing's awful. I don't want you to go.
Now then, duck. He's taken a turn for the worse, but he's not going to die on you tonight.
How do you know?
In my experience, this disease doesn't have the mercy of speed.
Oh, Francis.
Come on now. Your dad was sat here not half hour ago, laughing at me, holding one of the worst hands of cards I've ever seen in all my life. No wonder he felt like a lie down. So stop worriting. Set water to boil, mend the fire, and I'll nip home and I'll send our Jack for Dr. Copper. Go on. Get that kettle on.
Raise the laugh, raise the laugh. When you're feeling sad and blue, just raise the laugh, and soon you'll find you're losing that frown. A smile will spread.
Come on, Nora. Drink your tea up before it goes cold.
Doctor's been up there ages.
Well, I take that to be a good sign.
I think Dad's been getting worse since Christmas. I've been hoping he'd make it till spring and then...
Well, I never.
What?
That tale I was telling Reuben. It's in the Sentinel.
What tale?
That to-do in the Duke of Wellington.
Doctor?
Infection. At this advanced stage of his illness, it's to be expected. But that doesn't mean he can't fight it.
He's come on ever so quick. I was telling him about that to-do here. Reuben was laughing his head off and then he started coughing and couldn't stop.
What to do?
It's here, in the paper. Allotment feud. Norman Dibble got a bucket of horse muck tipped over him in the Duke of Wellington.
How did you know about it, Francis? Were you in a pub?
I certainly was not. I heard about it.
So, Reuben had a bad coughing fit?
He nearly passed out. If I'd known laughing would cause so much trouble, I'd have told him about my bladder problems instead. And, as you well know, Doctor, there's nowt funny about that.
Well, here's some more linctus for him. If you can manage to take a little. I can also write a prescription for penicillin.
Is that necessary?
I'll make up a mustard poultice. That'll shift it.
Mustard is effective, but coughing's very painful and distressing for Reuben at the moment. This'll be soothing. Pay when you can, Nora.
Thank you.
Keeping him cool isn't difficult at this time of year, and I still recommend a fire in the bedroom. You need to keep the temperature constant if you can.
I still have to go work. How will I keep the fire going?
Well, I'll come in once in the morning and again in the afternoon.
Would you?
And you'll be home at dinner times. So, between us, we'll make sure he's not left too long.
Oh, Francis, thank you. I can't afford to take the time off work, see? Not until I have to.
Most likely any change for the worse will happen during the night. If he doesn't improve, that is.
None of us know the day or the hour.
Indeed.
I'm reading here about poor Albert Davies.
Yes, I heard. Tragic.
He dropped dead a couple of weeks back on a boat to Jamaica. Buried at sea. Fancy. Makes you think, don't it, Doctor? No matter how high up the tree you climb, even to be a Member of Parliament, you can be cut down in a moment and end up as fish food on the other side of the world.
Poor man.
There'll be a by-election now. There'll be plenty ready to jump in his gravy.
You look very tired, Nora. I think we should leave you to get some rest. I'll call tomorrow evening and every night until he's feeling better.
That's very good of you, Doctor.
Well, it's the least I can do. I've known Reuben ever since I came to practice in Burslem. Nora was one of the first people I met.
God bless the National Oath, I say. When I think of times gone by and how we couldn't afford
quite.
A doctor.
Good night, Nora.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mrs. Berry.
Good night.
He's so kind.
Ah.
He probably doesn't call on other people every night.
No.
He delivered me, you see, when I was born. He always says that I was one of the first people he met in Burslem.
I remember. Pity he couldn't save your poor mother.
You don't like him.
I've nothing against him. He's a heathen, but he brought my Jack through measles, and Nance had two breech with him, and all well.
And you don't have to be a Christian to be a good person.
I don't suppose you do.
And I wish there were more men like him. Kind and wise and...
Hey, Nora, don't I be getting all worked up again?
I'm not.
Then I'll be off and all.
I can make a fresh pot, if you fancy.
Ah, I'm more than usually thirsty tonight. I'll tidy these cards up, shall I?
Oh, Dad.
I can't take me. Can't
Dad.
Take it. No.
Here we are, Dad. Let's try cool you down. Make you more comfortable. It's all right, Dad. It's all right there. What is it, Dad?
Emily.
Who's that? Who are you talking about? Dad.
I've known patients rally, even at this stage.
I think the blood looked worse because the cloth was wet.
He doesn't appear to be distressed.
It's different during the night.
Is it?
His fever goes higher and he says things. I think it might be the medicine.
He talks about the medicine in his sleep.
No. I don't know what to make of it, really. It's not something I care to repeat.
You can tell me, Nora. In complete confidence.
He keeps mentioning a woman. Emmeline.
Emmeline?
Could it be the medicine giving him bad dreams?
The Linctus I prescribed does contain tincture of opium for the pain. Perhaps double the dose and he'll sleep more deeply.
I wonder who she is, or was.
Who?
Emmeline. My mother's name was Lucy.
Yes, I remember.
I'm sorry, of course you do.
You're not getting much rest, are you, Nora? Shall I prescribe something for you?
I can't afford the shilling for Dad's medicine, never mind myself. I'm doing my best, but fettling and sponging's hard work this time of year. My hands are that cold.
When was the last time you went to the pictures or dancing?
I went to the Cole last week. That night Dad took bad.
What did you see?
Nothing. I had to escape. Wandering hands.
Brian Furnival, wasn't it? You gave him a shiner.
They all think they're Marlon Brando these days.
Do they? And who are you?
Betty Davis. Mm-mm.
My favourite.
Now then, Nora. It's only me. Bought the additional lobby. Our Sylvia's watching her wait till there was a portion left. Good evening, Dr. Copper.
Mrs. Berry.
Here. Get this while it's still warm.
I'm not hungry.
I expect you're busy at the moment, Doctor. Mumps is going round.
Yes, mumps. I've seen quite a few cases.
My Nance sent her lads down to the Middleport Shentons for catch it, which they have. So I'm looking after them. That's how I finished up making lobby. I'll fetch you a spoon, Nora.
I'll see you tomorrow, Nora. I hope Reuben has a restful night.
Double the dose. No more bad dreams.
Good night.
Thank you, Doctor.
Nora, I couldn't help but notice the cloth on the side. Is he bringing up blood now?
I meant to burn it.
Bless his heart. Just like my Walter. There you go. Eat up.
Perhaps I'll warm this later.
Of course, Duck. I don't mind. I'll have the dish back, though. It's my favourite. Our Jack found it on Burley Shore, Druck.
We've got some nice modern shapes and patterns coming in at Warham's now. And some coronation wear, too.
I saw your Mr. Richard Warham this morning when I went up fetch the lads from our Nance.
I like Mr. Richard. He always asks after Dad when I see him at the works.
He tipped his hat to me like a gent he did. When I think of what a card he was in his youth. Such antics. And every pot wench at Warham's had a blush for Mr. Richard before the war.
Even my mother.
She only had eyes for Reuben.
But what about Dad? Did he have other girls?
Not that I remember. What are you asking that for?
No reason. I'm sorry it's so cold in here.
Our Jack's going coal picking later tonight.
Whatever you can spare.
He'll bring it first thing. You get some sleep now. And make sure you eat that lobby, mind.
Francis, you're Walter.
What about him?
You say it was like how it is with Dad.
It's just the same.
Did Walter have nightmares? You know, with the fever?
He did. He was bothered that he hadn't been drafted in the Great War. He had polio as a kid, see, so he wasn't fit. It wasn't his fault, but at the end, what rises is guilt. Is Reuben having nightmares?
He's a bit troubled sometimes.
What could that be?
I don't think it's anything.
Nor I. A more loyal and loving person I never knew. What's he done all his life but care for you? Your dad is a good man, Nora. And whatever time he's got left, I'm sure that Reuben will meet his maker with a clear conscience.
Join us at the same time tomorrow when Reuben and Nora receive some unexpected visitors.